here this evening. It's a special service that we have here this evening, and we are grateful that God is in heaven and he looks down upon the children of men and he cares about it, each one of us personally. And he's also Lord of the church and he cares what happens with the church. And we rest in that this evening. We're thankful for that. And it's a blessing to follow his leading. The order of the service this evening is we'll begin with singing, and then we'll ask, we've asked Brother Jerry Rohr to share a devotional meditation with us this evening, and then following that, we will have the ordination, and then following that, we'll have another song, and then go into the message. So let's begin with singing.
Good evening. In your Christian hymnals, you can turn to number 39. Number 39.
Be silent, be silent.
Softly, you dress softly, you
number 49.
Oh, me, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Number 392.
And my heart says amen to thy will.
Send a greeting of love to each one this evening in the name of the one who loved us and gave himself for us and who delighted to do the will of his Father. And in doing the will of his Father, he brought salvation for our souls and for our lost world. And it is his plan now for each one of us to yield ourselves to his will for our lives. That certainly is, we especially think of it this evening in the light of our brother and his wife. It's a time where our wills are tested. It's a time of bringing our will into subjection to the will of the Father. But it's not only at a time like this that we need to say, "Thy will be done," but all through life as God's people, as Christians. Our life is to always do the will of our Father. We're gathered together this evening in interest of the Lord building his church. It's a blessing and a privilege to be here with you as a congregation this weekend, witnessing God building his church. And I couldn't help but compare. I thought about it this morning. So think about the choosing of leaders, the great contrast of the world's method of choosing leaders versus how God chooses leaders. You think about it. Just think about it even in our own country where we appreciate democracy. However, we witness the unrest, the much arrogance and pride and carnal ambition that goes along with men being elected to president or whatever position there is, and the carnal display, the pride, the lifting up of oneself. You know, as I was here this morning and also this evening, I sense resignation. There are tears. There's apprehension. There's fears. There's a sense of inability, unworthiness. What a contrast. What a contrast. But it is God's way. And it is those whom are small in their own sight whom God chooses and whom God can use. I thought of thinking about a devotional this evening and invite your attention to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'd like to just take some thoughts from this chapter, this book. This was written by the Apostle Paul to a young leader, a young bishop, I believe. His name was Timothy. And I'd like to pull some encouragement from some verses here as we think about the occasion here this evening. I'm going to read, start in 2 Timothy 2, I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, according to my gospel. A few thoughts as we think about this evening and the work of this evening here in a few minutes as the Lord tarries. Brother Brian, there will be hands laid on your head and a charge will be given. A charge. And that brings a sense of apprehension and fear, perhaps. But I like the simple encouragement of these verses. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The strength for the responsibilities that each one of us face in life. And to you, especially this evening, your strength is not found in your own ability. It's found in Jesus Christ. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What is this grace? Going back to just a couple verses in 1 Timothy 1, verse 12, it says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me." I believe the grace that God that is in Christ Jesus is enabling grace. That simply means he just gives us what we need to do the tasks that are at hand. Whether that is the task of a homemaker, the task of a father, the task of being called to the work of deacon. Christ enables. He enables. It's a promise that we can claim. He is faithful to enable. Verse 14, "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Not only does the grace of God enable, but it is exceeding abundant. The resources of God's grace for each one of our lives and in the work of calling leaders and building the church is exceeding abundant. It's exceeding abundant. There is no dearth of grace. The warehouse of God's grace is inexhaustible. And that is the grace that God gives us. I also see from these verses, says here in verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men." I just see here the blessing of faithful examples of those gone before. Here was young Timothy taking up the work of being a bishop here in the Church of Ephesus. Young, probably sensed his inexperience and inability, but he had some faithful. He had faithful parents. We know that. Maybe not a father, but he had a faithful mother, faithful grandmother that had taught him. That's a blessing. It's a blessing that you have. Godly parents. Grandparents that have showed the way through life and example. I also believe that Timothy had a spiritual father. Paul was a spiritual father, and I believe he had other spiritual fathers. All of us here this evening, you know, it's possible there are some here this evening that maybe had an earthly father who has left them down. Maybe he wasn't a spiritual father. Very possible. But I believe in God's family, we all can have and ought to have spiritual fathers. God provides that for us. So young Timothy here, he was a leader that was just simply filling his responsibility in his time and in his generation and at a time and place of God's choosing. He was holding what Timothy calls the mystery of faith. So Paul was faithful, and in his faithfulness he ordained other men. Timothy was given the responsibility to hold the mystery of the faith, to teach it, to preach it, to exhort it, and then he was to pass it on to others. And that's how God works. That's how the church works, the progression of faith down through the generations. This evening, when the charge is given, there is an aspect where this passing on is continuing. You will be given the charge and the responsibility to hold faith. To hold faith. We all are given that responsibility, but I believe leaders in a special way are given that responsibility to hold faith. Young Timothy, I believe, showed one of the character traits of a good leader is just being willing to learn of those gone before us, the wisdom of our spiritual fathers. Learn from them. Open yourselves up to them. I think it's God's plan. It has been said that he who does not follow, or maybe he who cannot follow, or finds it hard to follow, is not safe to lead. He who cannot follow is not safe to lead. I also see here another help is simply the thought of be a good soldier. God has called us to be a soldier. And we are to endure the afflictions. It says endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, when a soldier enlists in an army, he doesn't enlist because of how easy it is. He is enlisting because there is a cause to fight for and a cause that he believes in. And he expects that there will be hardship. and hard things. And that's what I think the Apostle Paul is encouraging Timothy. He says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. Expect some hard things. Expect some hard things in life. All of us, I think it goes better for us in the Christian life when we endure hardness or when we expect that there'll be some hard things in life. To our brother and sister here this evening, endure hardness. Expect that there'll be some hardness. Because we're soldiers. We're in a battle. We're in a conflict. The beautiful thing is, as we think of being a soldier, is that God is our leader. Christ is our leader. He has chosen us. He has placed us in the body. He has placed us in the ranks where he wants us. And he has proven himself faithful as an able leader. We can follow him. Another help is simply avoid the entanglements. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. You know, there's so many things in life that can entangle us. Leaders face snares as well. Things that can entangle them. Just to mention a few. It was already mentioned, I believe it was this morning, that leaders face the same things as everyone else, all the other brethren face. The personal pride. Diotrephes loved to have the preeminence. Personal pride. He was entangled with personal pride. Leaders can become entangled with personal pride. Leaders can become entangled with the pull of the flesh. He told Timothy, flee youthful lusts. Flee them. There are things that we must flee. There are things that we must put off. We can become entangled with the defense of ourselves. We can become entangled in arguments. And Paul encouraged Timothy. He said, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Yes, we can become entangled with defensiveness, with argumentativeness. And Paul encourages Timothy not to become entangled with these things. We also can become entangled with the seeking of man's approval. It can be a temptation for all of us. It can be a temptation for the leader, seeking man's approval. We also can become entangled by the disappointments and the delusions that happen at times in church life. I think Saul is an example of a man who became entangled with pride, the lusts of the flesh, the defense of himself, seeking man's approval. And what was the end? The Lord departed from him. It was a sad day in Israel. God is calling all of us. God calls his leaders to avoid the entanglements that would ensnare and would keep us from serving. Verse 8, remember. You know, in the work of the church, there's some times we need to just stop back and step back and remember some things. Maybe we get caught up with the details and maybe some of the difficult situations in church life, and we can become discouraged. We need to step back. There's a few things that I think we ought to remember. It says here, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, according to my gospel. Brothers and sisters, and especially to our brother and sister here this evening, we serve a risen Lord. He is a risen Lord of the church. He is alive. He is in heaven today, building with great interest in the work of the church. He has a great interest in the work here this evening. Our Savior is alive. He is building His church. He is calling men to the work, placing men in the ranks. So as we proceed with the service this evening, may the Lord give us His grace, His strength. Verse 6 and 7 of 2 Timothy 1 says this, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." May the Lord bless us with this night. All those that are able, let's stand for prayer. Our gracious Father, we pause in your presence here this evening, seeking your blessing upon the work, upon our brother, as hands are laid upon him this evening, his companion and family as well, as they anticipate some of the changes that will come with the work that you call them to, the work of the deacon. We pray, Lord, that you would give them of your enabling grace. May they be strong. May they find strength in your grace, enabling grace, abundant grace. We pray, Lord, for this congregation as well, those that make up the Pine Grove congregation. You would bless each brother and sister here. We pray that it would be a means of strengthening them, encouraging them in the work that you have called each one to in this time and in this place, building your kingdom here. We pray for all those that have gathered together to give support and blessing to the work. Wherever you have called them, wherever they are laboring, Lord, you know the needs of each heart. We pray that you would meet the needs. So go with us now tonight. Bless our brethren as they lead out in giving the charge. Give them of your spirit and of your wisdom. Bless the brother who will share the message as well, that you would be with the sharing of the word. We pray that as we go from this place here this evening, that our hearts would be inspired with the beauty and the enduring nature of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Be seated.
Thank our brother for the thoughts that were given this evening, very timely and fitting for the occasion that we have here this evening. The enabling grace, how God provides that strength to fulfill the responsibility that He has called. And we trust our hands, our hearts to Him as He has done that. And we'll continue to do that. I find it interesting, down further in 2 Timothy says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." There's a responsibility that we have to purge ourselves, to be part of that enabling power that Christ enables each one of us for the responsibility that is given to us. This evening we are here for the ordination, and the local congregation has seen the need for more leadership. I believe it was last spring we took counsel from the congregation, and it was positive to move ahead with the deacon ordination. And so we plan for that this fall. We come here to this weekend. Friday evening, we came together. The congregation gave their voice. Brother Brian was the brother that was nominated for this responsibility of deacon. And we have interviewed Brother Brian and Sister Marla, and we feel satisfied that they meet the qualifications that the Bible holds forth. And it has been clear to come to the ordination this evening. And so on that basis, we proceed, wishing God's blessing to each one in the congregation. Brother Brian, God has called you to the office of deacon, and you may arise to answer the questions.
As expressed by Brother Brian this evening, and we just thank you for his thank you for the way you have led in meeting the needs of this congregation. And we just pray a special blessing on our brother for his willingness to be used in this way. And we pray, Lord, that you would give him the power, the wisdom to carry out his responsibilities, and you would just bless his ministry here in this congregation. Bless his wife and family also. We just pray that you would continue to be with them and bless them. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
This time we'll call for a song.
Number 493. Those who care to may stand to sing this song.
Joy and duties, just.
seated.
To the local congregation, I'd like to encourage you to receive your deacon in love. Your work, your life in the congregation can make his load lighter. I'm sure that's your desire. As you support him, as you pray for him, continue to pray, and as you obey him and be at peace among yourselves. I'd like to read a few verses that pertain to your responsibility this evening as the scriptures point them out. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." 1 Timothy 5, 17 and 18, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." Hebrews 13, and verse 7 and verse 8. Hebrews 13 and verse 7, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." In verse 17, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." That is scriptures that pertain to my response to my relationship to my deacon this evening. I trust this evening that we have that willingness to build church, and we want to do that. We'll now look to Brother Glenn for the message of the evening. They shall keep the way.
If you'll turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis 18 and verse 19 is where this title of this message comes from. The Lord says of Abraham, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." I'd like to read actually verses 16 to 23 and coming and covering that verse again as we read those verses. Genesis 18, 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." And the Lord said, "Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know." And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" And then we know it continues and the questions are asked. How many will it take for Sodom to be spared? So largely as we think about Abraham being the main Bible character that we're thinking of and the example that he leaves in keeping the way and the confidence that as God viewed him, he basically said, I know this man, and he's going to keep the way. After the big news concerning Sarah, which is just prior to these verses, the men were on their next mission, and that was a visit to Sodom. Abraham, of course, being a cordial man, puts them back on track, that being toward Sodom. Abraham, as you read his part in this part of his life, certainly had a genuine concern about Sodom. After all, he had one of his nearest relatives, Lot, was there. That care for Lot is expressed in the life of Abraham back in Genesis 14, when Lot was taken as a prisoner. And then Abraham heard about that Lot was taken captive, and Abraham proves his concern by taking, I believe it was over 300 of his personal servants to pursue the enemies. He proves his concern doubly by he himself being one of the ones on that rescue team that went in that concern. The story ends well as Abraham and his servants bring back Lot and those with him and their goods. So as we go to our text again verse 17, you see discernment in the life of Abraham as he sorts through this. The Lord talks, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" Maybe the Lord saw that look of compassion on Abraham's face when he asked that question. Knowing his care about this, "Shall I hide from him the thing that I'm going to do?" The answer seems to be given in verse 20. When the Lord does speak to Abraham about Sodom, the cry of Sodom is great. There is terrible sin. "I will go down and make sure by being there if indeed it is as bad as is heard." And so in verse 22, the men head that direction, head towards Sodom. But here's where Abraham stays back. And verse 22 tells us that the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Not only did he stop and stand, but verse 23 goes on to say, Abraham drew near. It was not only about stopping and standing, but it was about a time of drawing near. And I believe this was a time of prayer for him, a time of talking to God about what was happening. Abraham draws near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" The Lord speaks to Abraham about Sodom, knowing the terrible sin that was there. And the men, of course, are headed there towards Sodom. And now you see him in prayer before the Lord. We know the account of Abraham's intercession for Sodom in verses 24 through 32, where finally he said, "I will not destroy it even for 10. I like verse 33, the concluding verse in chapter 18, where after this discourse and this conversation and this prayer, there comes a time when it has been settled. "And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place." I think it brings out the realistic blessing of communing with God. There was intensity there as he communed and as he spent that time in prayer with God. But finally, he did what he could do. And now he returns to his place. I believe in the comfort of knowing he had done what he could do. And there's something about that as it relates to prayer. And we'll think about that here in a little bit in the practical aspects of our title. How prayer is so much a part of that. We do what we can do. We spend the time in prayer before God with a burden upon our hearts. And finally we rise from our knees and we need to get on with life. And we need to do what can be done and return to our place and allow the Lord to continue to work. Some practical aspects around this title. They shall keep the way. The they were referring to in that title are the children and the household referred to in that scripture. And the way is the way of the Lord. But this is also about someone showing the way. And we want to first think about that in a practical aspect, as an example, as a leader, if you please, showing the way. I believe that person showing the way of the Lord, which is, I guess you can show people other ways as well, but that can be misleading. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end of that is death. But brothers and sisters, there is a way that's right. Enter ye into it. And this is the way that we're talking about. This is the important way that we must keep. This is the important way that we come with concern for our children and our household, as it is mentioned here in Genesis. The way is the way of the Lord. But, oh, yes, there are those who need to show the way to others. Number one, an example from Abraham, as you think about someone who shows the way and keeping the way, he will be a person of prayer. And we just looked at a great example of prayer and communing with God in the life of Abraham. We could spend a long time looking at examples we have in the Word of God of people who were people of prayer and the difference prayer makes. And what a blessing it is to spend time in prayer and to be blessed and to be feeling like this is where we need to be. Alone with God. It's very important. Brother Brian and all of us tonight, as we think about keeping the way and showing others the way, the part of a diligent and regular prayer life. I was talking to someone this morning about knowing my father, and those of you who knew him knew that prayer was a very important part of his life, and I had a godly example through him in being a person of prayer. Often, probably was still sleeping soundly when the prayers were being given, and it was he would go outside of the house actually, because I think the prayer was intense and it was important to him, and he wanted to be alone with God. He was not ordained. But he was a man of prayer. And I believe in 2004 he passed away, and I missed that, knowing that was not the same any longer. And I believe in something about that great cloud of witnesses, however, and thankful for people of prayer in our lives, and it's important as we want to show people the way, whoever we may be, that we be people of prayer. So that person who shows the way will be a person of prayer. And of course, this sermon itself is given as an ordination message. And where there is faithful leadership, there are faithful men of prayer. The power of prayer will enable one to do the tasks of the day, whether mundane or whether difficult. And oh, how the devil wants to keep us occupied in something else. Keep our minds busy, 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 away from that time alone in our prayer life with God. It might be refreshing to hear someone say, well, one of the reasons that I'm busy is because I'm just spending so much time praying. That would be a great time, a great reason to be a busy person. Praying more, taking time before the interruptions of the day come. Someone showing the way will be a person of prayer. The 12 said in Acts chapter 6, it is not desirable that we should leave the word and serve tables. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Secondly, the way is shown by one who obeys God's call. We see that in the life of Abraham. Abraham had a divine call. People who accept the call today have a very special call as well. And while living with his father in Haran, he received a message from the Lord calling him to head into a new country, a better country that awaited him. And again, as Abraham leaves an example, he obeyed that call and became the leader of that great host of pilgrims who have sought a city whose builder and maker is God. And I like to refresh our memories with that by looking at in Genesis chapter 12 at Genesis 12, 1 through 4, as I think of that city. Genesis 12, 1 through 4. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will shew thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. I will bless them, this great nation. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land, a better land, that I will show thee. And we think probably more often of the account in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10, the faith chapter where Abraham is included in these verses. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's the city he was looking for. That city whose builder and maker is God. The call comes from God. The call from God comes to men today. We have observed that and that this at this ordination tonight. It's one of the special times when we have a time when we witness that responsibility placed upon a brother to serve in this way. Circumstances are not the same as it was for Abraham, But the need to obey the call, I think, is equal. It's just as important to obey the call. And it will be, it serves a person so much better when the obedience to the call, following the Lord, following Christ through the steps of life, through the tests of life sometimes, through the trials of life, but continuing on obeying the call and realizing this is part of what I said I would do when I said I would be obedient to the call. And you think of the opposite of being disobedient to the call and the things that can go with that and the casualties that it can occur if one becomes disobedient to the call. Obedience to the call is very important. There are souls who look to those called for direction in their lives. The call to ordination leads to other calls as well that have to do with the work of the ministry, the work of the church. However, this call, in answering the call, even this evening, is a special call. Other calls that come our way are hinged on this call. We go back, and as we were reminded tonight, the time of remembering things, looking back, stopping, remembering to think about even this calling and this night in the call being answered. It's important that we see this as a divine call. You think of the great assistance that's given to one's family, one's children, I guess it was referred to here in Genesis, the children and the household. We said that's who they are. And so we can make that comparison as we think about responsibilities within the church for a leader as well. One's family, one's children, one's family. And the importance, the assistance that is given to them. And also then the household, we'll think of that as the church. The great assistance given to the family, the children, and the household, the church. And the blessing that is given to these as one obeys God's call. And especially as he keeps the way throughout life. They shall keep the way. Always obey God's call to promote keeping the way. Brian. Someone showing the way, another point that we can learn from the life of Abraham, someone showing the way, thirdly, leads by example. Our text verse showed that in Genesis 18:19. It kind of shows the proof there. They shall keep the way of the Lord. And what somewhat there, what is involved with that? They shall keep the way of the Lord, doing justice and judgment. Something connected with what it means to keep the way of the Lord. Doing justice and judgment. When I think of justice, I think of fairness. I think of honesty. I think of integrity. And that's a very important aspect in the life of a leader. Integrity. You know, if you can't trust a church leader, who can you trust? And it's very as we are reminded of that, and as we think about that, it behooves us to just be people of integrity, ministers and fellow brethren as well. Integrity is so important. For integrity to be passed along, it must be held by the leader. 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 give us the qualifications for leadership as blameless. That sounds kind of big. blameless. I think blameless means above reproach. It doesn't mean we'll never be blamed for anything, but it means that we are above reproach. It means not subject to accusation. Or as someone said, it means leaders must have a reputation of unimpeachable integrity. Spiritual leaders set the example for others to follow. Will the way be kept? Has the way been kept by the example set by leaders? Hosea said in Hosea 4:9, basically the thought was like people, like priest. Or like priest, like people, I guess. Acts 6 speaks of the need of men of good reputation. Paul adds to that his good reputation is within the church, among the brotherhood. Very important, and it includes all men. Those within and those without, that reputation must be in place to be the example. And we have known of leaders who have erred in maybe one or the other, and it doesn't work one place or the other in the part of being consistent. A good reputation within and without is important for the leader. Stay with me as we continue to think about someone showing the way. Someone showing the way has great care for his children and household. We looked at that a little bit earlier. The qualification of a man needing to rule well his house ties in with this point as well. And you have heard these qualifications. If sufficient Christ-like concern is there, there will be a great amount of care for those in his life as well. Much care will be there. And where much care is there, order within the house becomes much more natural when that concern is there and that care is there. Sometimes men in leadership do well with the hundreds, but overlook the few. And maybe even their own families at times. Namely, their children and even their own household, the church. It's sad when we learn of family members who have not kept the way, who have taken their own way from the straight way. And I guess the challenge for myself and for each of us, and this is for fathers, whoever, and mothers, whoever you may be, to have the concern for our children and keeping them in that place of concern that they should be, and that's up the ladder pretty high. Our concern and our care for our families. So we can ask the question, what does keeping the way include? The words in Genesis 18:19 stood out to me again, where it said, "For I know him." The Lord knew Abraham. There was confidence there. I know him. I know the steps he's going to take. He will command his children and household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. What a blessing to have that kind of a confident look from God as he went through life. So I wonder what God says about you and I. Does he say, I know him? And maybe sometimes it's he would continue to go on to express that yes, I know him, but there are some things there that I wish could be changed. It's important to realize that the eyes of the Lord are upon us at all times, and he knows us. He knows us very well. And so we ask the question, can the Lord depend on you? The Lord knows you. And to Brother Brian, the Lord knows you. The Lord has known you. And my encouragement, our encouragement, is to seek to know him with all your heart. Knowing him in a personal way, in a way where we experience that communion with God, alone with him, letting him speak. In the positive aspect, we could think about how it is in a positive response as a man who God knows today. He might look upon a man and say the same thing. Yes, I know him. He speaks to me often, and that's the way I know him. I hear from him on a very regular basis, and I know his heart. Some of the proof of that was just last week. It may go on. The thinking may be gone as a person that God knows. It was just last week he lost a lot of money, just to be totally honest. I know him. He follows me. And what a blessing to see his concern for his family. In fact, he talks to me more about them than anything else. I know him. He knows me. Of course I know him. I know him personally. It's a mutual relationship. They shall keep the way. What a blessing it will be for the faithful when they have kept the way and they will hear the words of the Lord, welcome home. You have been faithful. You have kept the way. This message has been meant to be a message of discipleship, and it's somewhat of an ordination message, but it's also a message of discipleship for all of us as we ponder upon the thoughts that were given. It should go without saying that a disciple of Christ keeps the way. A disciple of Christ will keep the way. Jesus taught, if you are my disciple, you must walk with me. And we ask, or I ask each of us the question tonight, are you walking with him? As it relates to the calling for Brother Brian tonight and the responsibility that goes with that, I came across a writing. I'm not going to give it all, but I think it somewhat speaks to the feeling that might be present tonight. It's entitled The Shepherd's Prayer. It says, O Lord, I did not choose this task, nor turn in stubbornness away. I sought to do thy will, and so for thy sheep now I humbly pray. These sheep are thine. A pleasure 'tis to help thy sheep and lambs to grow, to lead in work and so promote a colony of heaven below. And Lord, please keep my courage up, my brethren staying strong with me, the comforter indwelling us, until we come home, until we come to home and thee. May the Lord bless each of us, Brother Brian, Sister Marla, the children. Let's bless each of you as you go from here tonight and serve in the Lord's kingdom.
Number 466.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Appreciated that song very much. The testimony of Abraham, I believe, that God was leading him. God recognized that, and he knew that he could continue to lead him, and that's a challenge to each of us this evening, not only to Brian, but each of us as we continue to follow God's leading in our life. I trust that we desire to do that. I want to wish the Lord's blessing on each of you that came out. We are glad to see the interest. You that have traveled in various places, thank you for coming. It's encouraging to us to see your interest in the work of the church, and appreciate that. Times like this, we reminisce a bit, maybe. We don't want to distract from the evening here, but we were discussing a little bit the when we made the program, we didn't realize that this weekend there's been ordinations here at Pine Grove before on this weekend. Brother Tim was ordained, I believe, 16 years ago this weekend, and I was ordained deacon here 14 years ago this weekend. And if I'm not mistaken, Brother Ed was ordained 8 years ago this weekend. Now Brother Brian. Just some interesting there. We didn't intend for that to happen. That was that God can work out those details. And you know, we had a need here because God worked in the congregation in the past. We feel like God led to help have us start an outreach, and so called Brother Ed to there. And Brother Clayton has been faithful in his deacon work here for many years, and he is an older brother that I believe needs help or continue on the work. We want God's will to be done. And I'd like to just share two verses yet, and it's something that I think each of us can claim as our own as we think of life. The Apostle Paul, he said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." And this evening, it doesn't matter so much if we are called to the ministry or not. Brethren, we need faithful men and women. And we need those that are, like our brother was talking about in the message this evening, that do their part. And I'm thankful that we have that. But it's a challenge to each of us that we are making sure. And maybe you feel like there's not a lot that you can do, and that your influence isn't very great in the church. But I'd like to tell you that from a leader's perspective, it's noticed whether you do your part or not. And I plead with each of us, let's take that responsibility serious. And let's fight the good fight of faith. And let's finish our course. And let's keep the faith. In the day and age we live, there are many departing the faith. But let's keep the faith. And then we have the promise, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." The Lord bless each of us as we do that. Want to also especially thank Brother Leland and Brother Glenn for their willingness to come and serve here in our midst. Greatly appreciate their sacrifice, their work here, and wish them God's blessing as they go back to their communities. We would like to give opportunity for you to come forward and encourage Brother Brian and Sister Marla after the benediction. And so maybe we'll ask after prayer that you could come up the center aisle and then go back the side aisle. Let's keep the side aisle open on the ladies' side if we can. And encourage the parents and the local congregation to come first if you could, and give your support and encouragement to Brother Brian. Let's be faithful, and Jesus is coming again. Let's stand for closing prayer. Our kind Heavenly Father, we come before you at the close of this service. We thank you again for your faithfulness, for your love to us. We are not worthy of that love, But you have bestowed it upon us even when we were unlovely. And you have given to us the gift of eternal life through the death of Jesus' Son. And you have also given to us the gift of victory through his rising again. And we thank you that we can live in Christian victory. Lord, we thank you for the institution of the church, the teachings of the New Testament that outline the bride of Christ. And thank you for supplying the needs of the church, and again this evening. We recognize that, and we are humbled because your work continues on. Help us, Lord, to be faithful and to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You're dismissed.